This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
All right. Hey, this is going to be episode 136 of the IT and the D Show. Today is Monday, March 21st. We got a couple of great guests in studio. We've got the Agile and Beyond conference with us, and we've got Next Home Metro in trying to make – so we have making conferences suck less and making home buying suck less all in the studio tonight. That's enough of an intro. Let's go ahead and kick this.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly. Come on.
The prize.
To hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to
the IT in the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
Really? Should we talk about this?
Tag team.
Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D Comics.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Live from Podcast Detroit, this is episode 136 of the IT in the D Show. We are broadcasting live here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Captain Soundboard, Dave the Geek, and I'm sitting to my right is Mr. Bodie McBoatface. Find us online, itinthed.com, and give us a follow on the Facebook and give us a like on the Twitter. And if you're on Apple, please do us a favor and leave us a review on
on iTunes, even if it sucks. We don't care. Do us a favor. Mark your calendars. About a month from today, exactly, at the Blackfin in Royal Oak, we're going to have our Pink Slip Party follow-up. God, it's, yeah, because we did the Pink Slip Party a week early. So now we're 5 weeks out. But we'll be at the Blackfin, normal stomping grounds, Royal Oak, 5 to 8. No crummy sales guys except for me, and no covers, and no...
So, crummy sales guys.
Right. One crummy sales guy will be there. And that then bunch. No speakers, no MLM, and no cover charge to go to a company out in California.
No.
Woo! Exactly. I love Twitter fights with competitors in that space. Good times.
Who go away really, really quickly when they start getting ganged up on.
Yeah, exactly. All the constituents are like, you're stupid.
And they realize that their events don't have DJs Ghostbusters.
Or Ghostbusters. I know. We have a couple great guests tonight. We have both of them are repeat offenders. We have Mark Schaffner's in the house from Next Home Metro. He's going to be talking about bringing technology into the real estate market and making buying a home suck less. Looking forward to that. And then we got our old friends Jason and TC from Agile
and Beyond,
and they're gonna tell us what they're gonna tell us what in the hell and Beyond is, amongst a cool conference they do every year on agile development. It should be a fun talk, as always.
It should be a good time.
Yeah. So
let's just dive right straight in, because everybody knows about our stupid little side hobby. Everybody knows that we're involved with wrestling. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. Especially since we have a guy named Shaft in the studio, right to the Hulk Hogan story.
The highest paid porn star in porn history.
That's right. A minute and 41 seconds, $115
million. $115 because...
Did a judgment come down on punitive damages today? Because that was just the judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got punitive damages for having seen it. I'm going to go back. If you don't know the story or not, his best friend said, hey,
Bubba,
why don't you
Bubba
Love Sponge.
Right? Which I grew up listening to in Tampa Market.
Yeah.
Super lovely. Great.
We used to go to spring break just to listen, like, oh my God, Bubba Love Sponge. Dude, it was like
90
was,
Rock. Oh, that was my jam, totally.
Because we saw him on Stern. We're like, oh my God, this guy's hilarious, you know. But he goes, hey, do me a favor. Why don't you bang my wife and let me tape it?
Just bang my wife. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to tape it. It's apparently the issue.
Anytime a friend of yours is like, hey, bang my wife. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
So I'm going to drop a conspiracy theory that I've been thinking of. It's been stewing all day. I think Bubba the Love Sponge and Mr. Hogan kind of pulled one over on us. I think they're in total cahoots, and they're laughing, and they're going to buy some island, and they're saying,
well,
kumbaya.
He was originally one of the named parties in the lawsuit, and apparently settled out for, I think it was like $5,000, I think I read.
$5,000.
So yeah.
He was the guy who... allegedly leaked the tape as well, right?
Oh, yeah. He's the one that sent it to the guys at Gawker. And I don't know if you caught any of the testimony. I don't know if you caught – and it's interesting because it comes right on the heels of, the Aaron Anderson judgment that came down.
Aaron Andrews.
Andrews, sorry. Judgment that came down where she got $55 million for, getting spied on through a peephole and that kind of stuff. And now you've got Hulk that grabs – or Terry Bollea that gets $110 for a minute and a half of sex tape footage getting leaked online. The general consensus seems to be that this is the start of the smackdown on the Wild Wild West cowboyness of the paparazzi and sites like Gawker, and if you don't know, Gawker.com is the site that was named in the suit and lost, then maybe it's time that some of this nonsense go away.
And part of the interesting thing, too, is that the guy who founded Gawker has been named as personally liable.
Yep.
As long as the ex-editor as well.
Yep.
Now, the guy who owns Gawker is only worth $3 million. This is basically the end of him.
Oh, this is the death knell. We talked about this.
Spin.
So Gawker, if Gawker goes down, they take out Deadspin, Gawker, Gizmodo, Jalopnik, Jezebel, Kotaku, and
Life
Hacker,
right?
And
IO9.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, those are like very popular sites that are just going to go away if that goes under.
Where's the demand? You know what I want to, I don't wait. Who wakes up in the morning? You know what I'd really love to see?
Hulk Hogan's wang.
Banging. Hulk Hogan, just leave it at that. Hulk Hogan's wang.
There's a piece of testimony, too, where he's like, I do not have a 10-inch penis. That was actually a phrase.
Those transcripts will live on forever. Well, but we talked about this, that, you know, my conspiracy theory from, you know, 6 months ago, you know, because, you know, Hulk gets dropped out of the WWE after, you know, some audio mysteriously surfaces. And it wasn't that long after this lawsuit decided that it was going to move to trial. And well, who had access to all of those audio recordings and depositions and yada, yada, yada? Mm. Oh, Gawker's lawyers. Might they have been trying to discredit the person who was suing them, perhaps, hypothetically speaking, allegedly?
Well, I remember that.
In my opinion.
I totally remember that. Yeah, because they're the ones that released it to try to, yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, so yeah, that did not bode well for them at all.
Hey, were you excited about the new Apple announcement today?
The most powerful 4 inches on the internet. Beautiful, beautiful segue from the Hulk Hogan story. The So apparently Apple's big announcement at their AppleCon today. So 2 years ago, it was, hey, bigger screen. 3 years ago, it was, hey, bigger screen. And then 2 years ago, it was, hey, bigger screen. And last year, it was, hey, bigger screen. And then this year, it was, smaller screen for carnies with very small hands who smell of cabbage.
Smell of cabbage. Like cabbage.
It's funny today watching this.
I heard Donald Trump is the first one ordering one.
Have you ever seen the every time I want to laugh, I watch it. If you go on YouTube and just go Mexican guy laughing Apple, and it's this the guy they dubbed over, it's just this guy in this talk show talking in Spanish. And the guy's laugh is so infectious and funny. It's the funniest laugh I've ever heard. And he's got like 3 teeth in his mouth and he's telling a story. And they put all the subtitles in about how they were pitching to Tim Cook the new netbook. And they're talking about, like, there's no ports. They're, you know, it's just they got to buy dongles and it's a $79 accessory. Ah! And he's laughing. And it's like, you know, it's got a sick.
It's the pitch. Yeah. It's that process that you always want to know how it happens.
Right. He goes, we put a mobile processor in it. He goes, people are paying $1,100 for it. Ah! And he's laughing. This is what reminds me when I read the thing about the smaller phone. Like, what do you got? Smaller phone. And the thing I love about it the most is Wall Street. Like completely, their stock correlated with how shitty of an announcement it is, and you could just watch the of their stock.
How I felt about it too. I woke up this morning. I'm like, sweet, Apple's got some announcements. Maybe a new iWatch. Maybe a bigger iPhone. So the stock did the same thing. It's like wee, and then
so really they're just trying to get rid of their old stock, right? That's it, right?
Yeah, it's basically a repackaged 5, is what I understand.
That's what I understand. Yeah,
it's the most powerful repackaged 5 that exists ever.
Right? Yeah, they're we got 3 warehouses full of this crap. Let's just throw a new label on it.
We'll call it an A9X. Yes.
No, see, they could have just put like it could have been like iVintage, and they would have sold out even faster.
Slightly gold, but
bronzed. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you meant like the whole like bigger, smaller thing. You've seen the correlation, like how headphones, right, went from like small headphones to these gigantic headphones.
Oh, we had the big giant headphones,
and then the cell phones go from smaller to like almost tablet size. But it's funny though when
Dude, every time Mark pulls out that stupid note, I want to smack it out of his hand. I'm like, you're carrying a laptop and you're holding it to your head.
Nuri, you fly a lot. When's the last time you saw a guy on the plane with Beats or Bose headphones? Remember, it used to be like a 90%.
You know, frequent flyers, I think, still have a lot of the Bose headphones. The Bose headphones. I swear by them.
I gave them to my kid.
Really?
I didn't like the
noise.
And then
the baby starts crying, and then what?
Right? Then I start singing Phenomena in my head. It goes away. So there's a bunch of, I guess, another thing that the internet melted down when people lost their Tinder matches. Suddenly.
Yeah, Tinder apparently had a bit of an issue and lost everyone's Tinder matches. And you would have thought that people had come to – like Tinder had gone to their house and molested their mom and like kicked their dog and like ate all the food in their fridge.
Yeah, it was – one idiot said, I've got 780 matches. Yeah. I lost them and now I want compensation.
Yeah. Sorry, the free service inconvenienced you slightly.
You've taken away my booty's worth for the winter or something. I don't know.
The 780 women that matched with you should be demanding compensation.
700, like, what do you.
You assume that was a guy.
I read the story.
Yeah, exactly. What do you do, those 780? And then, like.
Two a day?
What are you, Will Chamberlain? Jesus Christ.
11, 5 minutes ago, woman, what are you trying to do, kill me?
Yeah, exactly. No, but on a more serious news, there was a cool article that came out. I don't know if it was cooler, but Cisco came out with, you know, we are on the verge of a moneyless society.
Well, a cashless society.
Cashless. Yeah. Sorry. And they said right now 80% of all transactions are paperless.
Right.
And basically they were going on.
And they know that because they can't track the cash transactions. So
who?
Anyone.
They. Who's they?
How are they getting the stat if they can't track the
paperless? I don't know.
Technicality.
I'm just saying.
You carry, like, I always have like $100 on me.
Yeah.
I don't ever carry more than, you know, because if I'm buying something more than $100, I'm using a card anyway. But, like, again, I think, I don't know how it doesn't go away. Like, if you think about, you know, it could go away and it wouldn't impact my life whatsoever. But I was reading into the story and they said they would, like, deeply impact, like, anyone, like, poor people, like,
mm-hmm. Right.
The bottom 15% type, right. That they're like, absolutely. They rely on it.
I'm a bad golfer. I'm always going to have to carry cash to pay off my bet.
Right, exactly. $1,000 you slice in the woods.
And I never carry cash. In fact, I piss off all my friends because I never have cash. I'm like, I'll send you electronic cash. I'll do whatever. But there's
people, I'd switch to all cash in the last 2 years. So.
Oh, sure.
Interesting. It's a lot easier. Dave Ramsey, yes. It's a lot easier to keep track of my budget, right? So that would screw me.
Yeah.
Like, I did never do a budget before. Now I can't do a budget.
Well, Canada, with the whole loony and toony thing, crazy. You're carrying around 10 pounds of change. It's like,
well, yeah, you're trying to tip a dancer and you're giving her a concussion. Well, no, but I mean, that's kind of a related story we didn't get to a couple weeks ago was that there was a study that came out that said that it would be better for the global society as a whole if the $100 bill went away.
Why?
Because the $100 bill is most typically used in drug transactions. It's the most counter. But they change it every 5 years, it seems like. They come out with a new design for it because, oh, look at this great new security feature, and they're counterfeited.
Yeah. There's actually $10.8 billion with a B circulating right now in $100 bills. And then, interesting fact, in 1969, there was a $500,000, $5,000, and a $10,000 bill. And they're still legal currency, but the bank destroys them if they get them.
So, yep.
Interesting facts.
What, $2 bills? Bring that back.
Racetracks.
We still got them.
Racetracks.
Can you get them?
Yeah.
Racetracks.
Well, that was always the thing. If you went to spring break in Mexico, you bring like $100 and $2 bills and you tip with those because you get treated like a god. Nowadays, I don't think they care. It's like, you cheap asshole if you give them a $2 bill.
I saw a video on YouTube where somebody tried to pay with a $2 bill and they called the police on them because they thought it was counterfeit.
There are more than one of those.
No, this is legal.
Oh my god. No,
seriously, it's real.
And you want fifth? Never mind. I won't go there. We won't get political on this show. But another thing is, so I'm trying to as I'm drinking a Pabst Blue Ribbon and eating Slim Jims, I'm trying to get healthy and I'm trying to at least take a start.
So do you have one of those fitness trackers?
I just bought a Fitbit, and then 2 days later I read the article that those can be used as evidence.
Yeah.
I'm not like I'm going to, you know, orchestrate some kind of a felony or a bank heist anytime soon.
What is this? I don't know anything about this.
Oh, so the Fitbits can be admissible as evidence.
As to your location data.
Oh, no kidding.
Time that you were there, all
so
that.
So like Hernandez with his phone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the article basically was a woman said that she was asleep when a murder happened.
Okay.
And basically she was wearing her Fitbit the entire time. And so she gets out of bed. She's walking around. So basically it proves that she's doing something other than sleeping.
Uh-huh.
It even pins her to a location when the murders were committed.
Yeah, because it tracks my sleep. It's creepy. It's, you know,
well,
it's
it wasn't like Santa creepy Claus. Until you just described it. Yeah.
Right. Knows when I'm sleeping, knows when I'm awake.
If you're going to rob a bank, don't wear a Fitbit.
I was going to say, Bob, you should probably destroy that.
Personal choice, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like, all it does is prove to me that I don't get off my ass and move enough.
it tracks arm motion. Apparently, Bob allegedly runs 7 miles a day.
Only with his left hand.
Tracks button clicks on the VCR. Speaking of, I think I found the temporary cure for weekend alcoholism. If only
well, first off, let's define weekend alcoholism.
Drinking on Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
If only Netflix would release a new season of Daredevil every weekend for the rest of my life, I don't think I'd ever go out on the weekends.
You were locked and loaded on your couch and wanted nothing to do with anyone this weekend.
No one talked to me. No one looked at me. My wife was out of town in Florida, and I stayed home and ate microwave dinners and watched 11 episodes. I got one, a couple more to go of Daredevil.
Is it as good as season one?
Better.
Whoa.
Way better. Way better. They dropped some stuff in this one, and it's awesome. It's probably one of the best series I've ever watched in recent memory.
Wow. Because I thought the first season was that good. It was
I'm not going to spoil it. No, it's darker, and they introduced a new character as a
is he trying to save the city?
A Marvel? No. Okay. They introduced another Marvel character into the mix, which is mind-blowing, and perfect casting. Perfect casting. It's so well written. It's so good.
Dude, I can't wait.
Yeah. And then they brought in another character that wasn't on the first season. You'll love it. It's
good. Good story, bud.
I'm not a spoiler. You want me to tell you?
I'll walk out of the room if you guys want to talk about it.
No, I don't want to spoil it. If no one's watching, I want to tell what's going on.
Well, but speaking of spoilers, we know people who are going tonight. If I see any posts from them, I will be beating their ass. Batman versus Superman comes out this week.
Uh-huh.
We're going Thursday.
We have a friend that was in the movie, so he's got cast and crew special passes tonight.
And doesn't love us enough to make us skip our show.
No, he's going to see it.
We're way down. We're so far down his social.
But yeah, so the initial reviews are out, though, and apparently they're extremely positive, which is a good thing. There's a lot of people that are pretty nervous about this flick and what it's going to be like.
If Aquaman doesn't appear on a big purple seahorse, I'm rioting.
That's right. Are you listening, Jason Momoa? Don't think we've forgotten you. And we told you that 2 years ago at Comic-Con.
And if they don't make fun of him either, like, hey, Superman, save the world. Hey, Batman, solve the world's crimes. Hey, Wonder Woman, you know, make him tell the truth. Hey, Aquaman, why don't you go talk to some fish? What else is he going to do? Is it probably the worst? Bring the Wonder Twins. At least they made stuff.
With Gloop. No, not Glooping. That was the
Herculoids thing.
What was the Gleek? Was the monkey?
Yeah, Gleek. Form of ice dildo.
What? Wait, what?
Took a weird turn.
That's what the Wonder Twins did.
There is no good segue from that. So let's just go to why you should not allow the internet to name things. As if people shouldn't know this already.
Yes.
I ruined that with my kids, apparently.
As we mentioned earlier, Nuri's new nickname is Bodie McBoatface. And what happened was, this is like a $300 million it's not just a boat.
It's a British research vessel.
Right.
All of the equipment, all of the things,
And they left it to the internet to name it. Didn't give multiple choice. Blank slate. So
the internet happened.
Right. And Peter Griffin apparently was in charge of the naming. And Bodie, that was the worst. That was the worst. Don't ever do that again. So help me God, as long as you live. The name that came up was Bodie McBoatface, and the internet rejoiced. And now there's fan pages. And so the thing is literally they can't go back now. The NHL learned that once you can't go back because they'll
once you give the internet the power, the internet has the power.
Anonymous will shut that boat down faster.
The internet giveth and the internet can take it away.
Right. There's still time, though. The poll is runs through April 16th. So
what's in second place? Does it say?
It does not. In fact, the website's currently down. It's crashed.
Because they're like, shit, pull the plug.
DNS address cannot be found.
It's the only way we know how to stop the voting is to pull the plug on the site. Follow up, we had talked about these folks a while ago. Swan Love.
Those are the clowns that gave you 10 grand, paid for your wedding as long as you didn't get divorced.
I thought it was a brilliant business plan.
Well, apparently they had so many people respond that they have decided they can no longer offer that model. And all the people that signed up will not be getting that model either. Now it's become a crowdfunding website for your wedding. Because you know how much we love those.
They pivoted.
They pivoted.
I know a guy.
They changed the paradigm.
I know a guy, and I'm not going to say he was never friends with me. I know this. He crowdfunded his honeymoon.
We talked about that.
Right.
Douche bag. Like, he paid for the vacation, right? He paid for the airline and the hotel. But then he's like, we want to go zip lining. It's $60. Donate here.
That's
like,
for the dolphins, $150.
He did. Like, he does like 30 activities. The worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So this Swan Love, which is called, but apparently they'd never gotten married themselves because $10,000 for a wedding. Where are you going to have it? At a VFW hall with spaghetti and meatballs? Like $10,000 won't even get you the flowers these days.
Yeah.
I think we did our wedding for $13,000 actually, but we did all the work ourselves.
Right.
I think that was our bar tab.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine was 20. I mean, but that was 15 years ago.
We're at the cusp. We talk about all the time of there's a few different economies that are being talked about. One of which is the maker's economy, right? Where 3D printing is pretty much going to revolutionize how we go to, you know, we're pretty much in like PC 1978 right now in terms of the infancy of 3D printing. So of course, you know, what do you got to make instead of doing something that's good? You know, hey, we're going to something that you can't buy.
We had the people in here from PenguinCon and Enable that are, you know, 3D printing arms for kids that have lost limbs. You've got, you know, people, they printed a wrench in space on the space station because think about it. An email went from Earth to space with a schematic of a wrench and they printed that in space. That's the pinnacle of us as a civilization.
So let's
and then
– so let's talk about where this is going right now. Let's go to the boardroom. I said, guys, you know, I'm really sick of – pancakes being round. Can we make them in the shape of Yoda or maybe like a flower?
And I don't want to be bothered with the stupid little cutout things that I have to pour the batter into and let it in. No. That's too complicated.
And those videos from like Tasty where you can like draw like the
it's far too complicated. I don't make the little bunny pancakes with the little whipped cream butt. No, I'm not doing that.
Let's design a 3D printer that makes pancakes in the shapes that we like.
How many people are going to buy one?
Seriously, I totally will.
You,
buy one?
You will?
I'll eat pancakes finally. Exactly. Just to show, hey guys, you got to come over for breakfast on Sunday. I want to make pancakes shaped of
giant middle fingers.
Goatee.
My kids will think I'm the best ever.
But I just, like, I'm just, like, do you have to, like, I didn't get too, do you have to pour the batter into the printer? And then it
where does it come from?
Or is it like is,
it doesn't make batter?
I don't.
It's just like filament on the rest of the 3D printer.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, is it printing it out of bark? are these edible pancakes?
Well, it's like 3D printed chocolate. It's like
you have chocolate. Right?
That's the next frontier.
Just eat. No, it's already there. Just eat the chocolate you have.
What fun is that? It's not fun.
You really need it in the shape of a bunny like that bad? We're gonna go through like a $30,000 printer. To make a people are idiots. Like the boardroom, and someone's like, "Yeah, let's go. Let's green light this. Let's invest." Because the process of getting something that built isn't cheap.
No,
it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars to just get that approved, the CE approval process, all of that.
Or is it just like an existing 3D printer with like a pancake batter spooger attached to it? Because that's in my mind. Honestly, all it is.
Does it heat the batter as it comes out? I don't
know. No, so they actually, I'm sure they just took batter a 3D splooger. Printer, removed the guts, put the little light bulb in from an Easy Bake oven, and then a conveyor belt. That's all this is. That's all.
Easy Bake Oven suck. My kids got one. The stupidest.
They're so dumb.
Dumbest.
Now they do it where you can have you don't even get the oven anymore. They just have little like silicone mold. You can put them in the microwave. Like, what is
no
that?
No fun.
Well, because you can't buy the light bulbs anymore, and they probably won't work with the CFC.
The world's over.
They're ruining our childhood. Although, so I went and saw Jeff Stone Perkins from a Thursday night show, the 5 Year show this weekend, over at Tesco V's thing, and I saw something that made me so, so happy. Like it reaffirmed my faith in where we are. Like it's like the pancake batter, the pancake printer takes the wind out of my sails a little bit. But then I see parents who find Jarts at this sale.
Like the good ones.
Oh, no, the old killers. School big giant ones. Metal spikes with the two little yellow rings.
Yeah.
Their seven-year-old son looks at them and goes, "Dad, I want that." And he's like, "You're goddamn right, we're buying those." Pulled $10 out of his wallet. That
$10.
That kid held on eBay for $50.
Dude, that kid held onto those things like he was holding on to Christmas as he walked out of that store.
Did you ever have them?
Oh God, yeah, we had them.
How did I not die? Like, I remember there was a time where how high can I throw
and then stand underneath it watching it as it comes down? Yeah,
and like 2 feet in front of your foot, you're like, ha ha ha! Like, how did we not die? Those things weighed like
they're heavy.
8 pounds too. It wasn't like, you know, it was a lot of metal.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that was my that reaffirmed my faith in humanity a little bit this weekend. So you, the parents out there with the jarts, well played.
Someone can come back out with those. It's a 3D. Let's 3D print jarts.
We can 3D print them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But hey, we're going to go up on a quick break. We're going to be back with Mark Schaffner from Next Home Metro talking real estate. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy Spinning to the IT and D Show?
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. See IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. This is the IT in the D Show, segment 2, episode 136. We are live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy here with Captain Soundboard Dave the Geek. And to my right is Bodie McBoaterface. Find us online, itinthed.com, and give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter and find us. You want our blog? We have hundreds and hundreds of blogs on anything from job search and how to suck less at stuff. And our meet page, M-E-E-T, not meet, like M-E-A-T.
Anyway.
That's where our event calendar is. Check us out, and I hope to meet you at one of our next events.
E-T.
A-T.
No, it's soon to be A-T. But I'm in some talks.
Okay.
Private label branded Monday Night Meat Sticks.
Nice.
Yeah.
We got the logo.
You're right. No, we do. We have to make it happen. this could be a thing. Can you eat them on Tuesday, though? That's the only thing.
No.
Hey, we're cutting into Mark's time here. We have Mark Schaffner here from Next Home Metro. We had him here almost a year ago, I think.
Yeah, at least.
But Mark has ventured off, started his own thing, and he's the managing partner. We slow clapped you during the break, by the way,
right. Thank you.
Of Next Home Metro. And the reason you're here, it's not because, you know, hey, I'm a real estate agent. Great. You know, we'll, no one cares. But you guys, you know, we had a couple beers and we talked about how you guys are using technology to kind of change the process and being less painful. Because everyone knows buying a home, selling a home sucks.
It sucks. You're right.
It's probably one of the most stressful things you go through in life ever.
For me, it was selling. Buying was the easy part. Yeah. I want to buy stuff. Nobody wants to buy my shit.
That's why you have a $250 Boba Fett.
Yeah, exactly.
priorities, right?
So I guess talk to me, like, you know, the first thing is like, well, why you, right? Because everybody's going to say, hey, there's a real estate sign on every corner for 100 different agents, right? Yeah. Why Next Home? Why Next Home Metro?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And first of all, thanks for having me again, guys.
Of course.
It's good to be back. Real estate is painful in the way the industry has adopted technology is really so slow. It's almost antiquated. We sell homes today the same way that we did, you know, back in the 1980s. And, you know, we talked about earlier in the segment, you know, we are 3D printing shit on, you know, the moon, and, you know, my real estate agent still has to drive a purchase agreement over to my house to get a wet signature on it. I mean, it's really absolutely absurd when you think about it. So the reason why is I think a lot of real estate brokerages out there, you know, they're scared of technology because they think that technology is going to replace the real estate agent. So many of the brokerages that you see out there aren't giving their agents the things that they need to be successful from a technology standpoint. And the consumer is suffering. And then you've got other consumer-facing companies like Zillow and Trulia and some of the other ones that are popping up out there that are giving the consumer tools from a technology standpoint. So your consumers are more technologically savvy than your actual agents are. And it can really be a very painful process.
Well, Zillow's almost done for like houses, what TrueCar has done for cars, right? You're walking in knowing as much as the rep.
Exactly.
You know, so how do you get
it? I know what it sold for 2 years ago. I know what it sold for 4 years ago. Yeah.
And even then, what a real estate agent's, what, a 12-hour course you can take online pretty much and become
a 40-hour course and a C- on a test and poof, you're a real estate agent. That's the other problem that you have here. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of really great real estate agents out there. You can find them. They're the minority.
Right.
But there are a lot of really great real estate agents out there. Now, when you take the best of those real estate agents, the best of real estate brokerage, and you put it together with some of the great technology that is out there, now that's a winning combination because, like I said earlier, you know, consumers are much more savvy than they were before. It used to be you could put a home on the multi-list, the MLS, you put a sign in the yard and you hope. You know, and now
bake cookies and have an open house. You know,
well, yeah. I mean, that was the good agent back in the day. Was they baked cookies and they put balloons out and you know
they baked cookies because the house smelled like cat piss. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's,
and mold. And then you move like in afterwards. So a real estate agent really has to do a lot more to bring value to your customers these days, and that's. So to get into why us, why Next Home Metro, what are we doing? I could sit here and talk about it all day. But my partner, Matt Marsupian, who couldn't make it tonight, and I, about a year ago, hatched the idea. And we said, what if we could bring those two things together, the best in real estate technology with the best real estate agents? What would that experience for the buyers look like? What would that experience for the sellers look like? And guys, you know, we officially opened the business in November, and we're averaging 98% of sales price when we sell homes. Wow. We're selling homes an average of 4 days when we put on a home on the market.
Wow.
So, the results, we had an idea. We thought it would be successful, and so far it's been really very good.
Well, you were talking to me before the show, and you brought up like six tools you're using that I've never heard of before. Walk me through like what's the buyer experience look like?
Yeah, so well let's talk about from a listing standpoint. So we talked about Zillow, we talked about Trulia. Those tools are absolutely fantastic. And any real estate agent that comes to your house and says, "Don't look at Zillow, don't listen to Zillow," is not a very good real estate agent.
Because all of them. All of them who came to me said that exact same thing.
Because they're scared.
Right.
And that's fine. They should be because, you know, I've been sent here to destroy them also. But
he is the Terminator.
but the thing is you know, those tools are very good. But they don't replace, you know, the personal touch and the local knowledge. And, you know, the pricing models and such that a real estate agent is going to give you when they come out to your home. Sure, an algorithm can tell you what everything in a 2 mile, you know, radius has sold for, what the average price per square foot is, and they can give you a very good idea. But somebody has to come in and put eyes on your home.
Yep.
And, you know, tell you that, listen, Bob, you got to get rid of your $250 Boba Fett that's on top of the, you know, fireplace.
Seriously,
that's
just not a weather
just
vane.
Put it away. It's
please,
okay.
But it's so it's so pretty.
Or just include it with the house.
Exactly. That is going to bring value to the home. You have to offer it. So that's the first thing. You know, first of all, an agent should embrace the technology, but they've got to come out. They've got to put eyes on your home. Now, where technology really comes into play is when it comes to the marketing of your home. So we talked about some of these things. You know, I see real estate agents. I look at the MLS all day long. I'm looking at hundreds and hundreds of homes. And it blows my mind because in my mind, it's real estate 101 to have a professional photography taken of your home.
Right? Absolutely. 100%.
Thank you. I just
sold a home and bought him one.
I just sold a home, bought a home, and I turned down several people who didn't have professional stuff.
I talk to agents all the time. And I'm not going to say anybody's name, but an agent said to me one time, I said, listen, you really need to, you know, up your photo game. And he said, me and my firm think professional photography is the biggest waste of money. End quote.
It's like a headshot if you're in talent, exactly. Right? It's the quality of that is the first glimpse anyone's going to get in your property.
Well, I have a beautiful home. Let me get the crappiest picture I can find.
It was
show
a dark day. There was crap everywhere, and the photos were grainy. I took them on my iPhone.
92% of home searches begin online. Bob's looking at his phone right now.
Looking at homes.
That's where everybody starts. I mean, like I said, consumers are much more savvy. And then consumers buy by process of elimination. They say, I don't want to see this home. I do want to see that one. The quickest way to get eliminated is to have bad pictures of your home. So that's the first thing. Now, my company decided to take it one step further with our photography. We have a floor plan drawn of each home. So our photographers go out. They have a special tool that measures each of the rooms, gives you an accurate measurement of the home, and it draws a floor plan for the home. Why is that important? Because it creates higher caliber showings, and it engages people before they get into your home. They can place the furniture around the living room, in the basement, in the bedrooms. You know, oh, this will work, that won't work. Because, you know, with just pictures that, oh, it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, let's go see it. And then they get out there and they hate it. You've just got a bunch of people walking through your home all the time.
Right.
We want quality, not quantity. Okay, so we have a floor plan drawn. Now, the thing that I'm most excited about is we also shoot our homes with what's called Matterport 3D technology. Have you guys talked about this? Have you seen this?
Never heard of it.
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. I should have brought my Oculus goggles, because what it is also, you know, the Oculus.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Imagine a home shot with a 3D camera, and you put on the Oculus goggles and you are walking through the home with your Oculus.
Holy shit, the future is now.
Screw your pancake printer. I got an Oculus.
I'm telling you guys, first time you do this, it's holy shit, game changed. I'm walking through a home in Atlanta from beautiful Ferndale, Michigan, right? So we shoot all of our homes with a Matterport camera.
That's sick.
It costs a lot of money, okay? But we pay for it, and we make that investment up front because we think it'll help us sell homes faster.
Like within 4 days.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to, I'm busy on your site. I'm actually trying to sell my house soon, okay, and I'm interested in buying a new house. So this is like perfect for me.
This is great. I'd love to help come over and show you what we're doing. But if you look on any of those listings, if there's a virtual tour, and it is absolutely spectacular. Now, why does this matter for a seller? Well, somebody can actually walk through your home from looking at it on a computer screen, or if they have the virtual reality goggles, they can walk through your home from their living room. This is the future, you guys. They don't have to come out to your home. And we are marketing homes here in Metro Detroit to China and to Europe, and people are actually clicking on them, looking at them, and interested. So we can the scope of people that are able to see these homes, that are able to purchase these homes. There's so much money out there to purchase homes. It's we're getting this in front of them.
So amazing is that? Because this is what I do. Yeah. So contingency planning and the dark side of technology. How do you keep, or how do you monitor? Hey, I'm cruising through your site, Mark, because I want to case the houses to see who has good stuff to steal.
Ah, good question. We don't.
I would assume security systems, padlocks, all that fun stuff.
That's what I would recommend. You know, listen, if your home is for sale, no matter if it's with me or if it's with any real estate company, a lockbox on the door, a sign in the yard is make sure your insurance is up to date as well. And your lock. A
couple of nanny cams here and there.
you bet. It's a good question, but yeah, you're right. It's going to showcase your home and what's in it, in your cool TV and your Boba Fett and everything.
Bob, you're a target.
It's out there. So it's a good question. You know, just make sure.
I watch way too much Criminal Minds. That's actually just
if you got people walking through your house anyway, you're not leaving your gold bullion in the kitchen, you know.
And that's the other thing. Saying. People are going.
That's my carafe of Krugerrands that I just made. That's a good question.
Now, I will say this. There is a company out there, one that I actually used to work for, that was working on technology to unlock doors for people and let them wander through their home without an agent. Uh-huh. Don't let that happen.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Luckily, my
really
agent was like,
idea.
You have to sign something to say that people can't do that. I'm like, I'll sign it 10 times.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is how a real estate agent isn't going to be replaced. I'll say you want to be represented when you're selling your home or when you're purchasing a home.
Well, then the last thing you do to showcase the house is like our favorite, one of our top three favorite topics is drones.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to tell you, it's absolutely amazing the view you can get of a property, even if it's a quarter acre. You know, to take a drone and put it up in the air is really amazing. And on these bigger estates, It's an absolute must. Lake property. We fly out over the lake and we take pictures from the lake in. It'll blow your mind. And you couple that with a floor plan with the Matterport technology. And like I said, the results have been great.
I told you, I gave you an idea. You can use it and I won't take royalties for it. GoPro strapped to a dog's head and let it run around the house. I'm just saying.
I like it.
You know. Yeah. I think you're untapped. You found something that could, or a baby's head, one of the baby's two. Head. Yeah, just let the kid run around, say hide and seek, find daddy, people watch it, you know,
until the kid starts crying because it can't find daddy.
That's why I'm in sales and not real estate. So I would do shit like that.
I'll try that. Well, I'll give you a small percentage of the next.
Oh, perfect. I'll take a beer. That's fine. Yeah,
okay, perfect.
So
the other thing that we're doing is it used to be with real estate is I have the information. I'm a real estate agent.
I'm a realtor.
I have this information. You do not. I'll give it to you. But you have to sign a contract that binds you with me, you know,
right,
as your Jedi master for the rest of your life. I'm trying to use.
No, I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
okay. Good. You're doing a good job.
That's good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So that's bullshit. And we give information to anybody that wants it as quickly as we can and as often as we can. To give you one example, out in front, if you list your home with us, we put a sign in the yard, obviously. My picture's not on the sign because that's also ridiculous.
I hate that.
Yep, it's not a billboard for me. It is a billboard for your home. The sign says how many beds, bathrooms, and the size of a garage. But most importantly, it has a text message code on the bottom that says text next for next home to 85377. And as soon as that text message comes in, the person that's driving by gets an electronic brochure sent to their phone so they can see the great pictures and the description and everything on it. We want to get that information out into as many people as possible. Jeez. As quickly as possible. So, you know, as from an information standpoint, we are putting it out there on our signage. The other thing is we do listing syndication and open house syndication. And what that is there are all these great websites out there for consumers. The ones that people know are Zillow and Trulia. But there's also Homes.com, AOL Real Estate.
Say AOL?
AOL. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to leave it.
You got to hang it on by a
call
thread.
And dial up, though.
They won't sell a home that's been manufactured after the 84, 85.
Yeah. Real estate agents in a chat room.
You have to have a disc.
It has lead paint. Yes. Movoto, just to name a few, and hundreds of others. Every real estate company that you know out there, Redfin, Coldwell Banker, Sotheby's, you name it. They all have websites. And we put our homes on everyone else's websites as well as our own. And they syndicate to our company syndicates to over 800 different websites. Most real estate companies locally rely on the MLS to syndicate. And the local MLS, oh, it's great. I love it. It syndicates to just 32 different websites. So our company takes it a step further and puts it out to 800 different websites. So that the combination of the marketing that we're doing with the photography, getting the information out to people, and then finally, what sucks the most? The transaction itself, right? And the paperwork.
And the hand cramp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, you never look at the piece of the paper that tells you exactly how much you'll be paying over the course of the entire life of the loan.
Oh, no.
You never look at that piece of paper.
Well, you'd be sad.
Yeah.
Do you know how much hidden stuff there is in there?
So much.
It's ridiculous, you know? Most of these brokerages are charging these transaction fees now that are $300 to $600. Do you know what that pays for?
Doc fees, basically, right?
People have walkovers.
Yeah.
Here you go, Bob.
It pays for the boat at their dock is what it pays for.
It's a dock fee.
So we use a transaction.
I just got it.
A transaction manager. We use a transaction manager called DocuSign, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with.
Yeah. Yep.
This is a small thing. But it's a big thing at the end of the day. You know, I'm not driving a contract over to your house. I'm not driving it anywhere else. You're not having to sign. We use DocuSign. It's simple. It's beautiful. It works great. Our documents are stored for years. So,
as a person who just bought a house and that
was used in my transaction was fantastic.
It's huge.
Right. It was huge. Like, because the last time I bought a house, I was driving like 20 miles to go sign some.
Got to go to the closing agency. Yeah. You got a minute.
I mean, you still got to go to closing. Yeah. You know, you still got to go to closing and sign actual paper. But
sure.
the documents of like, hey, here's some stuff I'd like you to fix my, in the house because it sucks. Yeah, cool. I'll sign off on that. But, you know, it's just fantastic.
More and more agents and real estate companies out there are getting these things. And it's an absolute must moving forward. But so I guess if the takeaway from that is, you know, ask some questions up front. You know, from a technology standpoint, from an information giving standpoint, and then from the transaction management standpoint, those things are absolute must. Most companies out there aren't doing what we're doing, but that's what we built our company on. That's how we started it with this idea, and so far so good. So if you're looking to sell a home, call me.
Don't be afraid.
NextHomeMetro.com. It's out there.
NextHomeMetro.com. We're coming up at the top of the hour, so NextHomeMetro.com. They want to obviously you're listed on
there. Phone number is 888-553-NEXT.
Do you answer if I call?
You bet. You bet I do. our phone. Oh, here's with the other drone. Thing. We don't have desk phones. We have cloud phones, and when the phone rings, it blasts out to all of our agents. So call us. It will get answered. So we pick up the phone. You'll get our cell phones. Text message. It's amazing. I'm on group text with all of my husbands and wives. And sometimes
they. What are you, Mormon? No.
Hashtag do it right.
The people who I'm helping sell and purchase homes, good one. Ring the bell. That can get dicey at times. But hey, I'm on their text, call, email, tweet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're everywhere.
Cool. Mark, appreciate That's it. Awesome. It's very enlightening. Yeah, it's good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Schaffner, NextHomeMetro.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the guys from Agile and Beyond. And this is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3, episode 136 of the IT in the D Show. We are broadcasting live in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, here with Dave the Geek, Bodie McBoaterface. Find us online. IT.
That's never going to get old.
No. ITintheD.com because we are IT in the D and you just
go to McBoaterface.
Yeah. You are a Bodie McBoaterface. But hey, we got a second or third time these guys have been here. We got Jason and TC here from Agile.
And beyond.
And the sun.
And
see,
we're going
to gets old either,
we're going to spend the next half an hour. We're going to spend the next half hour figuring out what and beyond is and go.
And how does Adam Sandler figure into your conference? That's
What is he? What?
With the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Oh,
I got you. Oh.
Well, I got too obscure for you.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, seriously, welcome back.
That was great. New digs. I love it.
That is awesome.
Gorgeous.
Well,
we grew up a little bit.
The purple and the blue and the green looks really good.
It doesn't even smell like pot in here. It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. There hasn't been a single raid.
I wasn't sure we were in the right place.
So, and more importantly, thank you for coming more than a week ahead of your conference, so you're not sold out yet.
Finally, finally sold out. Yeah. It does sell out fast, though.
It does.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, this is round three, I believe. So let's talk a little bit about round Agile three, and Beyond.
Round three, our
here,
seventh
with
year.
Us, yeah.
Our seventh year, but our third year with you guys. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So new venue, right?
Yeah, so we got a new venue now. So we're trying
you guys
upgrade.
Are upscaling. Oh,
yeah, right. This is sweet.
Yeah.
It is going to be a sweet conference this year. Yep. Beautiful Eagle Crest.
We're at the Eagle Crest Conference Center Resort in Ypsilanti, so Ann Arbor, as they brand it. But, it's on a lake. It's going to have lots of cool things.
Well, it's like us, but Podcast Detroit, 8 miles right there.
Right, exactly. Totally in Detroit. Totally in
Detroit. We can see the Applebee's if we stick our heads out the window.
That. Yeah. Applebee's. I grew up in Royal Oaks.
In Detroit,
Oaks.
Can you believe
I grew up
it?
In Royal Oaks, so I know all about it, this 8 mile, but I was like, what, an Applebee's? That's crazy.
If you go to DetroitApplebee's.com, it may or may not go to ITinTheD.com. Whistling.
No, but yeah, so this year's going to be great. You know, we've expanded our with the new venue, we've been able to have more people come. So, you know,
so what are you looking for attendance-wise this year?
About 750.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, we could grow.
We could grow. Yeah. We try to keep it comfortable. So,
right.
So in this our first year, we don't know the venue, so we want to make sure that it goes well for people.
They say we could fit 1,000, but we're not gonna push it.
Right.
Yeah. We want to make sure the flow is good and the people have a good time, and we just make sure it's the best value for the people that come. So.
But well, it already is the best value on the planet. I mean, seriously. You look at every other conference, anywhere close to it is $1,000.
Yep.
And we're looking at $199 for this.
Yep.
Right? And every year, because it's grassroots, we've been able to keep the price down.
Well, and you guys always have a fairly killer programming track going on. Yeah. So I guess, again, let's take a step back. So why do I or listeners out there want to go to Agile and Beyond?
If you're an IT person like me, I've been in IT for 30 years. The first 15 years of my career, we really sucked at IT. I mean, everything was late, right? Everything was over budget. Everything was poor quality. It seemed like that was the norm, right? And it was just accepted by business. That's how.
And no one just ever factored that in the equation. It was just always a surprise every time.
Thanks for the estimate. We'll double that.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. But that was, that is how stuff got done. And so Agile started with an Agile manifesto and a whole lot of people that got together and said, we got to be able to do this better than this, right?
This has to be able to suck less.
and we've been doing that ever since. We've been figuring out how to get better at this ever since. And that's why we have Beyond every year. Beyond. Every year, because we keep trying to get better.
That was your cue, Bob.
Bob's doing his technology.
He's just talking about I don't even know what Agile is.
It's like, when do we talk about sales?
Right, exactly.
So that's why people come. It's how do I get better at my profession? I mean, if you're a doctor, right, you go to conferences.
Right.
If you're a lawyer, you go to conferences. And
you're building software to come to this conference to make your software suck less.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what sort of programming tracks are we looking at over the course? Is it a day? Is it 2 days? How long am I going to this resort for? Yeah,
thanks for the lead.
We're going to have some spa days. No, it's 2 days, March 5th and 6th.
We've gone up to 2 days.
May.
Not real
May.
March year.
Yeah, no, we're May. Yeah. It's not a couple weeks ago.
See, I'm so used to coming a week out.
Go shit, we're late.
We switched to 2 days
5th and 6th.
A couple of years ago, and that really, I mean, people really respond to it well. And so 2 days again, it's for just about anybody, CIO, CTO, CEOs even. If you're an architect, if you're a developer, a business analyst, QA, developer, whatever your role is, you're going to find something. Because we've got, 90 sessions to choose from?
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, you said all those roles too, but really project management, product owners, people who build stuff, right? Any software. Those people are all people that will learn something. We have, you know, we start from Agile 101 to, you know, advanced topics, right? So,
I guess that's a good point. I mean, because Agile just, it's not something that just sits with the devs.
Right.
It's something that's an institutional approach.
It's like an
approach.
Onion. It's like an onion. It's just another layer, and it'll go.
And you're going to cry at some point.
Well, you've been crying for years anyway.
The CIO will probably cry at some point.
But it does. It works from the development teams, technical practices, to team practices, to organizational. And it just goes out. And there's something for everybody.
So what would be the good takeaway? Like, so I'm going to my boss. I mean, granted, it's only $200. You go to the damn conference.
That's a tough sell.
But I'm going to, like, manager into paying for this for me?
Mostly you'll show them how much it costs to go to the National Agile Conference.
There you go.
And then you'll say, how about this one?
There you go.
Here's an alternative.
$1,600,
right?
Here's an alternative that only costs $200.
But on top of that, if you talk about that $1,600 National Conference and you look at our program and you see the speakers that come, they are the same people that come and speak at the National Conference, that come speak at our conference.
Okay.
We have Jeffrey Liker, who wrote The Toyota Way, a lean manufacturer.
So right.
I mean, big, big name. One of the original James signers Green. of the Agile Manifestor.
Manifesto. Uncle Fester.
Uncle
Fester.
One of the original signers of the Agile Manifesto. Grenning.
James Grenning.
Yep. James Grenning. And he also wrote Test-Driven Development for Embodied Seat.
Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, we have all these same people who talk at that national conference here. So $200, I mean, you're saving a ton of money.
So is it – okay. So is it 2 days of I'm sitting there getting talked at by people? Are there practical hands-on sessions? Are there like what – again, I'm just
– Yeah, yeah. Great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's a nice mixture of the two, right? There's you know, the talking to, this is how it works. This is how to get your company to buy into this. This is how to do it. But there's really probably the majority of the talks are kind of hands-on
workshops.
45-minute to 90-minute workshops.
Okay.
This is how you implement it. This is how you work with your team. This is how you go about it.
By people who have been there and done it.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Well, and I would assume there are going to be companies there that can help you help your company.
Yes.
We do have this kind of thing. Great list of sponsors. Yeah, you're so good at this.
This is what I do. Yes,
they're listed right there.
We have a fantastic list of sponsors.
Yeah. So,
actually, this year, Quicken Loans is our
get out.
Really? they give us a lot of money.
They sponsor things outside of Detroit. I'm really surprised
crazy.
By this.
Well, they think we're in Detroit. We didn't tell them otherwise. But no, they this is their first year as our title sponsor. But we have others. We have like
AgileCraft.
AgileCraft. CA. We have Computer Associates. We have Epitech. We have, you know, tons of people who are either looking to implement Agile or others who have already done it and are trying to help. So, you know, Version 1, Rally, those types of
historically, these folks, they bring their best of breed folks to talk to you. So they know this is the conference to be at every year. So they bring their very, very best to talk to you. So if you have really tough problems, you can go there, just go talk to them. They'll have tables all set out where through all the paths where you walk to go to the different sessions. And anytime that you want to talk to them, you just go up and say, here's the problem I'm facing. And they're glad to help you, right? Because they're looking for every chance they can to meet as many people as they can. And this is the place where the people who have the problems that we're trying to solve, that's where they find them.
Right? I'm looking through your attendees list, and I'm actually really impressed here. I see folks from
imagine that.
Atlassian, people from AAA.
Yeah. So I was going to say, yeah, I mean, the nice thing is that – and you're probably not even seeing it yet, but – you know, Ford is probably the biggest company that sends the most amount of people to our conference, but also AAA Life and University of Michigan. And
GM
all
those
GM is big. They usually send a big contingent of people. So, you know, it's a broad base of big companies, little companies that send people. And it's not just Michigan either. We have a great draw from a lot
international.
Of international. A lot of Ontario sends a lot of people from it.
Well,
a lot of
people coming from Europe too.
Yes, that's true. We usually
let's say like Ontario is barely international.
You need a passport. You need a passport. But we also get a lot of people from you know, the other Midwest states, like, you know, all over the place. It's great. In California, even a lot of speakers come from California.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Well, and that's honestly, that's probably a benefit to having a two-day thing is that that makes it easier for folks that are going to travel in for it.
Absolutely.
Instead of I'm getting there at 8 – I'm driving in at 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm driving out at 6 o'clock at night.
Just to be sure, I want to get this plug in. I'm trying to extend it to a third day because I'm going to have a golf outing.
Ah.
It's a gorgeous golf course.
It is. The whole resort is fantastic.
Oh, I was looking through the pictures. It's ridiculous.
As soon as we did the tour and I was like, okay, we're here for 2 days, but there's a third day. It's a Saturday. What could we do for Saturday? And so
Team building.
Yes. Yeah, team building.
So we are actually having a golf outing on the Saturday.
We're going to have a golf outing. Yeah. Well, haven't got it all figured out yet, but we're going to do something that includes golf on Saturday.
And that's really all that matters. So, I guess the other component to this is always social and networking.
Yep.
So, you know, what's going on after hours? Are there networking and social components built into the day?
Yep. So we don't have much built during the day because it's a really tight schedule. But the evenings, you know, we have on Thursday and Friday night. Thursday night we have a nice networking open bar kind of thing where everybody kind of gets
pizza
and beer and drinks, and then there'll be some, you know, short lightning talks, which is 5-minute talks about whatever topic.
But those are always really
good. Those are awesome.
It's like an open mic session.
A guy last year gave a lightning talk on lightning. Which was awesome.
It was so meta.
He killed it.
It was awesome.
It was great.
So that was fantastic. And then on Friday night, we have what we call our after explosion, which is basically just, you know, a party afterwards. And this year is going to be in a giant tent on the outside looking over a lake. It's going to be great.
Like one of those thousand-person tents.
So hold on. Good weather. That's
May. But that's why we have a tent.
That's why we have
a massive tent. You know, so it's good. There's also an outside area too, but we're
with all kinds of fireplaces. This place is so
– I'm convinced we're being lulled into a false sense of security. We're going to have like snow in June.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, my wife was trying to tell me tonight, you know, there's a snowstorm coming on Wednesday. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, it's rain. It's
yeah, bad. Boston just got hammered. It's still out there.
Oh, were they okay? Because that's the East Coast. It's really worse there.
It's not going to be so bad here. Golf season has started. I'm not listening to stuff like that anymore.
So what haven't we hit on? That's you know, that's a draw for this 2-day event.
What? Well, I think we
TC's got notes.
We've got
so no.
I know, that's why I'm hitting him up.
So Jason is the king. I mean, he really kills this thing. He built an app so that you can go and look at your entire schedule. Lay out whatever you want to see, whichever sessions you want to go to, map them all out, where you're going to go and what you're going to look at. So you can on your phone while you walk around figure out exactly who you want to go see next, right? And if you go see somebody and you're like, this person is not what
I
expected.
Where can they see that?
You
AgileandBeyond.com.
Yeah, there you go, AgileandBeyond.com.
Have you thought about open sourcing that? Because I know a lot of conventions, ThinkWorkCon, would be really happy with having something like that.
We can talk about it.
I think I'm going to go to GoDaddy and three Agiles, Agile, and Beyond. Like eight O's.
Like I don't already have that.
Is it available? Oh, yeah.
Fine. But Bob, you probably registered it last year.
I'm going to get drunk and register Agile.
He was in a meat stick coma, though, when he did it.
Right.
There's one more thing to cover, though, real quick.
Shoot.
So for your audience, we have put together a code.
Yay.
Yeah, yes. So that they get a discount on their tickets.
On the already really well-priced tickets.
On the really well-priced tickets.
No, I get it.
We love you guys.
But we love you guys. Oh, and we really appreciate you guys.
So if you go to agileandbeyond.com and click on register, you can put in the code ITD2016. You get 20 bucks off a ticket.
That doesn't
suck. It's a case of beer.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I like it.
I mean, you can get a case of Beast for that, like a 36-pack of Beast for that.
PBR.
It won awards once. It did.
It was the only brewery around, but it won an award.
No, but we're having a lot of fun with the conference, and it's you know, grown leaps and bounds over – this is my sixth year working on the conference, so I basically took it away from the guy who really originally did it, but – you know, we've been doing a great job over the last 4 years of just making it an awesome experience.
Yeah, we have an awesome set of options.
Is it back in the Marvin days?
This is all grassroots.
I love Marvin.
This is
he
all
gets a free
volunteers.
Ticket every year,
right? This is all volunteers, all grassroots. Everybody dedicates their own personal time to make this thing happen, and that's what helps us keep the price.
That's
so
and that's hard to make happen. I mean,
that
in and of itself shows that there's a community around it that actually gives a damn.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, it's crazy how many and you know so many times when we're at the conference and we forget how much time we put into it and how much days and nights and weekends and our wives are like
just about every
doing?
Conference I say I'm never doing.
Why
this
are
again.
You never home?
Why are you never home? Like, what are you talking about? You're a radio show on a Monday night. You know, it's just. A great thing, you know, after the conference, and Nuri probably knows this, but like the next like 5 weeks, you're like, I'm never, ever doing that again. And then like,
you do that every year.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I know. But it's so fabulous. And I just love talking to the people while we're at the conference and they just love it.
I tell you what though, I love doing this every year. And there's a part of me that says I would never want to give it up. Either. I mean, it's just
as much as like I bitch about the pink slip party events how insane they get and all that stuff.
Yeah, you do a lot.
But yeah, I mean, but it is like 3 months later, like, yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's sort of like childbirth, right? You forget about it after a while. Not that I know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You remember when you were born?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's crazy.
We just got an angry tweet referencing that. Right,
yeah. So I guess what would be – what would be the I would say either the most interesting or the oddest track that you've got on deck this year that you know about so far?
This year, you know, it's hard to say.
I would say building a drone from scratch again. Yeah, that's
you guys love drones, okay. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
From scratch.
Yeah.
We're not talking about like the like a toothpicks and rubber bands, right?
You get a box of balsa wood and a rubber band.
That's all I'm thinking about. Yeah. So it only floats for 8 seconds.
You know? Yeah. You do get a box of parts and you just put the whole thing together.
Yeah, during the session, right? 90 minutes.
And then flying it indoors. I mean, you got to have just the right person.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty. Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not overly agile, but we try
what
to.
What does that cost?
Well, that's part of the Beyond.
$199.
That's included in the conference.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's one of the sessions. That's one of the 90 sessions.
And you can buy bed pillows too, from what I heard. It's the end Beyond part.
That's the end part. Yeah, we have a
shake weight,
right?
Beer glasses and just kidding.
Scales, lots of scales.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think we do an awesome job.
That's a hot growing topic. I mean, people are trying to figure out, especially since, you know, you've got the FAA that wants to slap a regulation on every drone that's right out there. And, yep, you know, we talked about routers last week and them trying to control that. And you got to, okay, so build your own, yeah, build your own.
Absolutely.
Kind of cool.
It is. Yeah, I mean, that, we got stuff like that. And I'm trying to think like what this year was. So that was kind of last year. We had some D&D stuff. So, you know, everybody talks about test-driven development.
Yeah.
We had some talks on test-driven development, but using
roll 12 or better to save versus finance.
Yeah, but it's using this Dungeons and Dragons paraphernalia to better make your
and that's like one of the workshop TDD, sessions, right? Yeah, and the people that come the speakers are incredibly creative, right? They're out there and they're doing what they're doing. You know, they're competing with each other, really.
Yeah, really.
Was the most unusual thing to get people to come and see them. So
that's amazing. Some, you know, when you're going over these topics, this year was our best year ever of having the amount of topics.
So it's so you've got 90 things going on. Like, how many submissions do you get that you have to pare down?
About 200 this year. Yeah, it was almost 200 this year. And so, this year was the hardest one to pare down, but awesome because it makes the sessions all that much better.
Right.
Right, because there's obviously some sessions that come in, you're like,
no.
Did you take 10 minutes?
The cream of the crop with the sessions this year. I mean, there's just so many submissions.
One, don't go chasing waterfalls. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Oh, how did I not have that?
That would be a great session.
I spliced it in last year. I'll probably do that again tomorrow.
That would be a great session.
Yeah. How do I know that and you don't?
I'm the one that spliced it in last year. All right. So, again, guys, awesome. Thank you for coming out.
Yeah,
so the info about the conference is out at
AgileandBeyond.com.
And hit register, and it's code ITD2016.
Yep, 2016. ITD2016. I sent it to you guys, so you can put it on your Facebook page or whatever it is.
Phenomenal.
Your Instagram or your Kickstarter.
On the Twitters.
The Twitters.
The Tumblrs.
Swipe left? Is it swipe
right? Yeah, I don't know. Wax on, wax off.
But hey,
Tinder would just lose the match anyway. So
we may or may not be back for segment four. We're going to go to a quick break.
It doesn't show up on your 4-inch iPhone.
All right, hey, we're going to wrap things up this episode 136 of the IT and the D Show. Don't forget, check us out, itandd.com. We'd like to thank Mark Schaffner from Next Home Metro, JTC from Agile and Beyond. Don't forget, Beyond
the Sun.
Just always remember, drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you soon. Thanks for listening, and beat it.
See ya.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, on the cheese.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.